Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike to tell you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be here until 8 o'clock tonight. And tell everybody, a little after 6:20 tonight, we'll have on with us Ross Dellinger, who's now with YahooSports.com, talking to us about the college football season, which is actually here. I mean, because if you watch, you could watch games Saturday and certainly saw the upset, Georgia Tech beating Florida State. USC, LSU, this coming Sunday afternoon, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 at 6:30. At 2 o'clock, it'll be Tiger Tailgating Show. Myself along with Jeff Palermo will do it because Herb Tyler, his wife won a free trip for two to Las Vegas. So Herb skipping out on me this weekend. But Jeff Palermo will fill in for Herb, and we'll be at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. We'll be there from 2 to 4:30. Come on by and visit us. And then that'll be Sunday, setting up Tigers playing the USC Trojans. I'm going to go back to our Oakwood Hard Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to James. James in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, guys. Everybody's making moves right now. It's crazy. Carolina is trying to shop Terrence Marshall, the former LSU receiver. They feel like, since Dave Canales has taken over, the former Bucs OC, that's their strongest position, they feel, is wide receiver. So they're shopping him around. Sean is trying to get rid of Samaje Perine. I don't know about you guys, but I think we need a running back that could break tackles. I know you guys probably don't feel like
catch the ball. He can catch the ball coming out of the backfield.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, Mike, we don't have anybody to break tackles. I think that kid from USL or whatever school it is down here. He really impressed me. I don't know what else he could do, but I think he's better than, I think as far as a running back for this offense with no.
So you think Capote's better than Mims or Robinson?
Only because he breaks tackles, Bobby. Because he breaks tackles, he can fall off extra yardage. You know, we got guys, these guys are small, and they're not, we need a physical presence back there. You know what? Let's be honest. I mean, I don't know what you guys think, but I think this is and I know we haven't seen everything yet. At least I haven't. Maybe you guys have. But I think this is the worst offense since the days of Bo Phillips. I mean, I don't know.
Wait. The worst offense since Bo Phillips? As far as what you think, like
scoring? No. Ditka's offenses were bad.
Yeah. I would have to say late 90s with Ditka more than Bum.
But both of them stink. And I love Bum, but both of them stink for right now. In 2024, this is not how you want to, you know, we have nobody that you're going to say as a defensive coach for the other team, we got to stop this guy. I said that before. I mean, we have nobody. Alave, he's too
okay. I have a question for you, Jay. You say we don't have a guy that you think we got to stop this guy.
Besides,
so wait, don't you think? Okay, let's say you just one player. You just change this one player. What if you put Christian McCaffrey? All the success he's had was basically 2,000 total yards of scrimmage. What if you put Christian McCaffrey, who had outstanding seasons? Now he got beat up with Carolina, but you put him with the Saints and you put Alvin Kamara with the 49ers. You don't think Alvin Kamara would kick ass with San Fran? I mean,
you know why I'm saying no right now? Because for both of them, either Christian or AK, who was really slumped these past three seasons.
The past two seasons.
What makes San Francisco so great is they got the best offensive tackle in football.
Supporting cast.
No, right now.
I tell you what, the Trent Williams trade that they got him from Washington, that's the most significant move they've made.
That was outstanding.
Yeah. You and I can run the ball with him black and back there. I mean, that's yeah. What it is. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, so, yeah, but Christian's – Yeah, look, listen, he's my favorite player not on the same team. I mean, I told his dad that on NFL radio. He laughed when I said it, but he's my favorite player not on the same team. But it's just it's crazy because he's a difference maker. And
James, okay, think about this. Okay, now be objective. I think I'm being objective. I want you to be objective. That do you think the Saints could mirror what they did last year and then, if not, maybe even get to 10 games? I don't know, 8-9, 9-8, or 10, because I think that's where we're at. Best case scenario, let's say 10 wins. Do
let
you think? Wait, let me ask for you one first. Oh, yeah. Do you think that that's unrealistic if our defense is amongst the best, like we've been, and then also special teams? Now, offense, we might be middle of the road. Do you think it's enough to be relevant to have our defense kick ass and our special teams? I'm not saying winning a Super Bowl, but we're relevant. Don't you think that could happen? Well, what's your opinion on that?
Okay, here's my answer to that. We have a good to possibly great defense, and if we solve the strong safety position. But the problem is this: on offense, the guys can't make first down. They're an old team on defense. They're gonna wear out halfway through the season because the offense can't make first downs.
We got to be better on third down. No, we were horrendous. I know in the preseason we're not game planning, but you got to control the ebb and flow of a game. Even though it was preseason, you know the Titans now. No, look who's playing. This can't happen in a regular season game. The Titans had almost the ball 12 minutes more than the Saints. See, I think how we're gonna win.
That can't happen.
No, we need to do that. That we possessing the ball instead of giving it up.
So I think it comes down to offensive line play.
Yeah, James, I'm not confident. Right now, I would say heading into the season against Carolina, I would say at best case scenario, I just hope it's a push and we can hang a little bit. I mean, to say we're going to dominate. Okay, when you look at even our best lineman, McCoy, what's best case scenario for him? He's a Pro Bowler. We ain't got no all-pro guys. We do not have on this team, considering where he was at, how he was well thought of, Ryan Ramczyk, Teron Armstead, Jari Evans. Do we have any of them cats? I don't think so.
We got Ryan, but you got the shell of the Ryan.
Well, Ryan Ramczyk. I mean, no, I'm talking about when he was at the best, though. We don't have nobody.
No.
What?
Nobody close. Nobody close to that.
Yeah, so that's why, I don't know, can we weather the storm? Can we piecemeal game plans together? And that's why I say we got to be outstanding on defense and special teams.
Thanks so much for the call, James. We appreciate it. Let's go back to our Oakwood Hard Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Kevin in New Orleans. Kevin, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, Bobby and Mike.
Hey, Kevin.
All right. I'm going to pull a Bobby Hebert here and look into my crystal ball for a minute.
Okay.
And I'm looking at recent history. With the Derek Carr's injuries, the O-line, how it's playing. Just my opinion, I'm not wishing anything bad on anybody. But if Derek Carr goes down and he's out 3-4 games like he was last year, and Spencer Rattler gets in there, don't be surprised if he shows out that he Tom Brady's Derek Carr. Just like
well, you know the point you make, and let's say Derek Carr.
Take advantage.
If Derek Carr.
If he's out 4 games, you got to play Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, I think there's more upside. I think Haener could be steady, but there's more upside with Rattler, if that makes sense.
And he might not give it back to him, and DA is on a hot seat, and he's trying to keep his job, too. So, just saying.
The bottom line is you got to win. Listen, if a quarterback's winning and you're on a winning streak, come on, D.A., what's the most games you've ever won, like 3 in a row? Shoot, we got to have a season. We got to have a season in a Dennis Allen. I don't know if it's going to happen. Can we win 6 or 7 games in a row? If we do that, shame on us if we don't get to 10 wins. You know what I mean? You can't be like win 1, lose 2. Win two, lose one. You know, you're going back and forth, back and forth. No, can we pull off? Because that's what Sean was able to do with Drew Brees. I've been part of those teams where we won, you know, the first six games, or you won nine in a row. No, you got to go on those winning streaks. Now, ultimately, you want to be peaking in December to take that into the playoffs. But I would take right now, hey, Dennis Allen has not had success here. How about in October? You know, Sean Payton was outstanding.
He was 10-1
yeah.
The last 3 years he coached the Saints in October.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
No, and right now, I mean, I think Dennis Allen would take that.
He's had a losing record in October and November.
Yeah, that would – Mike, how about – and so let's figure – let's just say 8 games, you know, every week. So October, November. If we were 6-2 in October, November, I think Dennis Allen would take that.
I would definitely take that. Thanks so much for the call, Kevin. We appreciate it. When we come back, we'll have on with us Ross Dellinger from Yahoo Sports talking to us about college football right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the second guest show, Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be here until 8 o'clock tonight. We've had some people ask about it, but Dylan Cruz in his first at-bat, pop fly on a fastball, and so did not get that hit, but they threw him a high fastball, and he popped it up, Bob. So Dylan Cruz.
Well, he's in the majors.
He's in the majors now. And so another story for us to cover here. On our Oakwood Hard Jewelers talking text line from Yahoo Sports, Ross Dellinger. Ross, thanks so much for joining us. And, man, everywhere you turn, there's an LSU story, right, Ross? Man, you think about Mondo over the weekend. He breaks his own record again in the pole vault. And see all these guys all across the landscape of LSU sports. Ross, you talking about we have covered the golden age of LSU sports. We live in it right now.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. It's been probably 15, 20 years of LSU football's surge, and now it seems like all the other sports are following the lead lately. And I know there's going to be a Netflix, I believe, or Amazon documentary on LSU and NIL and just the success there. So, yeah, it's been pretty incredible era here that we're in for LSU athletics.
Yeah, Ross, I hear all this lying about, people in Louisiana, they ain't got money. They're not going to be able to keep up with this NIL stuff.
Can't keep up with Texas.
Well, you got to be kidding. Now, Texas money is a different story. But, man, they got money in Louisiana. I got a lot of them. I sort of know they lie about their money. Oh, I ain't got – man, I'm poor. I ain't got no money. I ain't got – well, oh, LSU needs what? How much they need for that? I'll take care of that. So it goes to show you a little bit. There's a big kind of gap between the haves and the have-nots, but that's a story for another day. Looking at this game, LSU-USC, I was telling that to Bob. You think about, we grew up in an era, USC was always playing either for a national championship or to get to the Rose Bowl. I think for most people, they would have a difficult time telling you one guy, other than the quarterback Moss, who they saw in the bowl game, that's playing for USC today.
Yeah, it's you're right. You know, you look at what Lincoln Riley's going to be in his third year, and they had a lot of success in year one, and then kind of dropped off last year, and people stopped kind of paying attention to them, I think. And you look at this year's team, and a couple of probably names. You mentioned Miller Moss, the quarterback. Zachariah Branch, the receiver, is somebody. He's a return man, too. That's pretty dang good, and will be a household name probably by the end of all this. And then, you know, on the defensive line, LSU probably is familiar with a Bear Alexander, their nose guard. You know, so they've got some players. It's just we haven't seen, certainly last year, we just didn't see a lot of them play to the potential, especially on defense, right? USC has just struggled on defense, really, everywhere Lincoln Riley's been, and going back to Oklahoma, they've struggled on defense. They have a new coordinator this year, and, you know, D'Anton Lynn from UCLA hired him away from UCLA, and So there's some hope that they can turn it around.
All the transfer, new coach, transfer portal, new players. But, Ross, how do you feel like with Coach Kelly? And, you know, you always want to get off to a fast start. I remember with Coach O, you know, kind of shocking in Tiger Stadium, losing to Mississippi State. You look what happened then. And then if you look as of late, losing twice. No, obviously Coach O losing in L.A. to UCLA, but then losing the last two games to Florida State in the opener. I mean, I think that this is – talk about Lincoln Riley needs to get off to a fast start. I think Coach Kelly for LSU also. And only one team can win. But I know a lot of LSU fans would be discouraged in how they wanting to represent and go out to Las Vegas if LSU lost five straight openers to start their season.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking, this skid that LSU's on to open the season opening kind of skid. I can remember the days, right, when I covered the team, and then before that under Les Miles and then under Nick Saban, where they were on that streak of season opening wins. I don't know what it got up to, but it was up there. And then there was that non-conference streak that they held for so long. I think in 2016, the loss to Wisconsin at Lambeau Field may have snapped that streak, but it was like 10 years, guys, if you remember, or maybe more, that LSU didn't lose a non-conference game. So it's odd to see, yeah, this current skid they're on, and this is a big one. You know, it feels really important, just for the national landscape where you're playing a historic program like USC that's now in the Big Ten. You know, there's obviously been a lot of made of the SEC and the Big Ten, and the fact that they're now kind of administratively working together. But on the football field, I'm sure they want to assert their dominance. And this is one of the few matchups in the non-conference that we'll get between the two leagues outside of bowl and in college football playoff matchups. So feels big for Lincoln Riley too. Brian Kelly, as you mentioned, third year. Same kind of story. You know, if you look at their records, Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly, third year, each of them, they've been, you know, high expectations when they entered both of those jobs, big contracts, about very similar contracts, $10 million a year type contracts for 10 years. And in the first year, they did really, really well, right? Exceeded probably all expectations. In the second year, there was a dip.
You know what, Ross, when I look at the schedule, how it's going to play out, I don't know. I'm asking your opinion. You're more on top of this than me. And I tell them, oh, yeah, we're going to be undefeated. They go, oh, Bobby, you don't think we should be undefeated by the time we play Ole Miss October the 12th? I say, yes. I think the expectations with Ole Miss, I know you're playing in Tiger Stadium, but that would look at the expectations. You got to go back to, like, the early 60s. Think about that. Ole Miss, I don't think, has ever had this high expectations. You know, look in the postseason and you're going back to, segregation. And all, when you look at an Ole Miss back then and Archie and all that.
I talked to Archie about it. He said the only times he could remember is right before his senior season. Now, they got off to a fast start that year, and then Archie breaks his arm against Southern Miss. And then he brought up Eli's final year at Ole Miss, where it was kind of a rocky road start early on. I think they were 2-2. Then they got hot, and then the showdown between them and LSU pulling out a victory at the end. But expectations before that year were really high, and as Archie said, we were kind of a sleeper national championship pick for a lot of people back his final year in 1970.
And they have Ole Miss as a sleeper right now. Ross, where do you have Ole Miss? You think they could disappoint or watch out for them?
Yeah, I mean, you look what Lane Kiffin did with just enhancing the talent every year on that roster through the transfer portal. I mean, he calls himself, I think, right, the portal king. He's done a good job of that transfer portal. He's not afraid to go out and get players and kind of mash everybody together from different schools from that portal and use that A lot of coaches will shy away from doing it too much, but he certainly has not. And they have the talent, if you look, and they certainly experience at quarterback to compete for the playoff. You know, I go back, talking about the last time there was this kind of expectation for Ole Miss. And, yeah, I mean, I think it was 2003 was Eli's last year there. And I remember being at that LSU-Ole Miss game where if Ole Miss had won, they'd go to Atlanta for the SEC championship game, and then LSU pulled it out in the end. But it was that year is the one that comes to mind. You know, Hugh Freeze had a couple of good years. He beat Alabama a couple of times. And he actually, you know, came to Tiger Stadium with, I believe, either the number one maybe or number two ranked team, and LSU won that game. So I could totally see both of these teams, right, entering that game undefeated. LSU's toughest game over that stretch is probably this USC team. It's probably that game. So if they get by that, you look at Ole Miss's schedule, their toughest game maybe is Kentucky, and they get them at home. They do have to go to South Carolina. Both teams over that stretch have to go to South Carolina. But you could see them Ole Miss being 6-0 and LSU being 5-0 for that game. That would be a pretty cool environment there at Tiger Stadium.
I would like to have the alcohol sales that weekend.
Yeah.
If both teams are undefeated. Whew. Man, you talk about you be chiming in a lot. Your thoughts on Garrett Nussmeier, because it is unusual. You've covered college sports for a long time, especially college football. To have a guy kind of sit and wait, and he told me over the summer, it wasn't that it hadn't crossed my mind to leave, but I felt maybe this is the right spot for me. He's waited a long time. Now he's being handed the baton. He's the guy at LSU.
Well, the most ultimate, wait your turn. Is anybody more than Matt Flynn? I mean,
other than Matt?
Yeah, think about that.
And he's not playing in this era.
Well, right, that's what I'm saying. But think about patience. Yeah.
Well, you know, the only one right now that I'm sure there are more, but in college football, this season, when you look at the quarterbacks who are, first-time starters taking over for a team, a lot of them are transfers, obviously. A lot of them are sometimes in their freshman year, their second year. But actually, the two quarterbacks in this game, Miller Moss and Garrett Nussmeier, have been around their program and kind of bided their time for a couple years. Miller Moss, I think three years, maybe even four. He's been there. He could have probably left. Garrett Nussmeier, same thing. So both of these guys kind of stuck around. And you're right. You don't see really talented, highly ranked players like them to stick around as much in college football. I'm working on kind of crunching numbers of the transfers in the starting quarterback transfers this year. And it's I'm not done, but it's probably more than 50%, or really close, of starting quarterbacks at the Power Five conference level are transfer players. Many of them in their first year in their transfer. So you don't see a lot like these two quarterbacks, what they've done in biding their time in this game.
Ross, when I look at that's why, I mean, I'm a big fan of what's occurring now and into the future of college football, because I think fans want more meaningful games. Not only if you're trying to fill up a stadium like LSU, who holds 102,000 plus, but I think fans want to see nothing against, listen, I'm from Lafourche Parish, nothing against Nicholls State and South Alabama, but when you get UCLA and Oklahoma coming to Baton Rouge, UCLA's never come to Baton Rouge. I think Oklahoma's never, I don't think. So when you got the likes of UCLA and Oklahoma coming to Baton Rouge, that's how you get 102,000 in the stands.
Well, that's right, and that is the era. We're in an era of college athletics where the rich programs and the historically successful programs are separating themselves more and more financially from everybody else. And whether you want to say that's the Power Four, in the group of five gap, which is growing, or the gap, honestly, within the power conference schools themselves. And the gap continues to grow, and it will continue to grow, and we'll see more of a separation. We've seen so much of a separation off the field in resources, in rulemaking, in playoff spots, things like that. But we're going to probably soon see even more and more separation on the field, where you don't have the kind of upsets that you might have gotten years ago when it comes to the group of five upsetting the power conference schools because of this kind of unregulated type of free agency we have, which is the transfer portal and NIL. That combination, you know, that combination has created a feeder type of minor league system at the group of five level. If you talk to coaches down there, they feel like they are feeder system for the upper, you know, the power league. So it's a gap that's going to continue to grow, guys. And eventually, you know, we'll see more of probably a formal split. This House antitrust settlement case and the revenue sharing that's coming with it will be another factor, another thing that will create more separation.
Now, Ross, when I look at Coach Kelly and where he's at right now, seems like that magic number is 10. I don't know if 10 wins enough to get you in the postseason to be part of a 12-team playoff, but I'm looking at I would take that right now. Now, it depends what's going to unfold, but Brian Kelly has won 10 or more games in 7 consecutive years. The longest active streak among FBS coaches. Do you think he makes it 8?
You know, looking at their schedule, it's never easy, right? We talked about that Ole Miss game. You know, they got to go play at Texas A&M, host Alabama, host Oklahoma. I could see them going 10-2 and 9-3 or 10-2. That's kind of the feeling that I've got for the team. That defense has got to improve. I'm assuming the new defensive coordinator has them will have them playing better. It can't get much worse than what we saw at times last year. So you would think with an improved defense, this LSU team can win 9 or 10 games. And if you get there, Bobby, you mentioned 10-2 making the playoff potentially. It would be pretty shocking if a 10-2 SEC team doesn't get one of those at large spots. There'd have to be a pretty good logjam of 10-2, 11-1 teams for a 10-2 to get left out from the SEC. It could happen, certainly. And depending on the two you lose, I think that all, you know, the committee will look at that stuff. But I would expect that a 10-2 LSU would get into the playoff.
Ross, so we'll let you go, but I'm going to tell you something Archie Manning told me. He said, Mike, don't be shocked at this, that a 9-3 SEC team, because of strength of schedule and them maybe getting hot late in the year, squeeze into the 12-team.
Wouldn't be surprised. Absolutely. You know, depending on the year, right, you could see a 9-3 SEC getting taken for an at-large spot over a 10-2 ACC or Big 12 team.
Now, Ross, we lied to you. One more. You carry this from a national perspective. Why has Clemson been so anti to change, keep up with the Joneses, change with the times? I mean, whether it's NIL,
that
transfer
comes from
portal,
the head coach.
No,
that's an easy answer.
No, but why is he so stubborn?
You'd have to ask him, but I'll let Ross answer.
So, yeah, because to me,
I've
it's like
him plenty of times. Yeah, I've asked him plenty of times, including about a year and a half ago, and I sat down with him in his office, and you know, he said, "Ross, we've got to, in order to have room for transfers, we have to lose players." And that is one thing Clemson does not do a whole lot of, is players don't transfer out of there. And now with the expanded rosters coming, right, where you could have 20 more players on scholarship, maybe that changes. I assume we will see him dabble a little more in the portal because that's the one thing that Clemson is missing. That portal gives you a plug-and-play immediate player at a position that, you know, is needed, and is maybe weaker. And we've seen in the last couple of years they need those plug-and-play players.
Ross, one of the things with them, this is a Pete Jenkins line, they're not as good on defense up front. That's where they excelled all the time. They always had a quarterback, but you look back at all those really good defensive linemen throughout the years, man, they don't have nobody like that anymore. And they had multiples of those type guys.
Well, you got to keep up with the Joneses. I don't know. Like Davo, come on. Yeah, that's the approach I take.
Thanks so much, Ross. We appreciate your time, buddy.
All right, Ross.
See y'all.
Ross Dellinger from Yahoo Sports, covering college football and college sports all together. We'll be back, and Tony from Australia's up right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. We got Tony from Australia. Tony, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike. Hey, you got a crew for you. You got a big crew for you cheering for you, Tony.
Hey, Tony, here at the Silver Slipper Bay St. Louis, they love you. I mean, they go, we want Tony to take a road trip to New Orleans. Come here.
Well, I'm having a meeting this afternoon to find out whether or not it's on. If not, it'll be definitely next year.
Okay. So you sounded pretty good. I know you had some health issues. It seems like you've turned the corner.
Yeah, no. It's fine on all cylinders. A couple of questions. When's the 53-man squad finalised? And also, if Derek Carr has a couple of bad games, do you think Spencer Rattler will get a chance?
Tomorrow is the cutdown date official, 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah.
Got to get down to 53 now. Tony, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be fluid because I do think there are going to be other movements after that. Bob?
Yeah, it's going to be continuous, and I think Derek Carr, it has to be more than a bad couple of games. It might have to be a bad month plus, or he'd have to get hurt. I think we got to live with Derek Carr this season, and Tony, you got to hope he works out because I think he's going to be our quarterback for this season. And he understands the task at hand. I think Clint Kubiak, Dennis Allen, we all know, I've said this a bunch of times, that, okay, the quarterback, usually the head coach, gets too much of the glory when you win. And then obviously when you lose, oh, quarterback sucks, or the coach doesn't know what he's doing. But I can tell you this right now, Dennis Allen can have the defense rolling. But he's not just in charge of the defense. He's the head coach. So if the offense is not getting it done,
you're going to get the blame.
Yeah, Dennis Allen and Derek Carr is going to get the blame. It could be like Trevor Penny could suck and don't block nobody. Then they might, they're going to be where Derek Carr, work your magic. So the quarterback and the head coach is going to be held responsible. So Dennis Allen and Derek Carr knows that. So they know that they have to get it done. But the one thing I'd be extremely disappointed if our defense is not amongst the best, because that's Dennis Allen's baby. I think, and I can tell you this right now. Now, I know he's the head coach because you don't know everything. It would be like if you were the Denver Broncos. And if you're the Denver Broncos and you can't stop nobody, who's going to get the blame? Sean Payton, even though he's an offensive coach. You don't know both sides of the ball. You might say, well, you're the head coach. No. That was like even Nick Saban, who might be considered the greatest college coach ever. If Alabama's defense sucked, I would say that's on Nick Saban.
That's on Nick.
He's a defensive coach. Now, the offense, you got to hire the right people.
And he brought in Sarkisian.
Lane Kiffin. Yes. So now that's why Dennis Allen's going to be patting Clint Kubiak. Come on.
Get it done. You got to get it done.
Because that's a reflection of me. So that's where we're at right now. But to say if Derek Carr struggled a couple of games that they would replace him, no. That ain't happening. I mean, Mike, you
think, I agree with that.
No, it'd be like he'd have to be hurt, or it'd have to be like a real slump, which is a month plus or something.
Thanks so much for the call, Tony. We appreciate it. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number three of Second Guess on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here in hour number three of Second Guess. Bobby Hebert, Mike DeTellier at the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be here until 8 o'clock tonight. Bob, big weekend of college football as it cranks up all across the board. And the matchups to me, because there's no preseason, okay? And so I think you make that big jump, and you've heard college coaches say it, from week one to week two. You got a game action. That's where you make the biggest jump. But this is where, too, it's kind of primed for some upsets.
Oh, yeah, you already had an upset.
You had a big one.
Well, the thing is, I was starving.
And SMU almost dropped one, too.
Yeah, they ended up coming back. Look, Montana State came back on New Mexico. I think they were like a 14-point favorite.
Yep.
So you look at SMU coming back. They're part of the ACC now. But I tell you what, this is probably the first game, because I guess I was just starving or chomping at the bit for real games that count. The game in Ireland, I actually watched the whole Georgia Tech Florida State game. I watched that whole game, and Georgia Tech was kicking their butt in the trenches. So, Mike, that was.
And that quarterback sort of matza for Georgia Tech.
Yeah,
he's a big dude that can run.
Well, so was the Florida State quarterback.
Oh,
he ain't any good. The one
when
he transferred from Morgan State, he ain't any. He wasn't getting it done.
He's all over the board throwing the ball.
So, the point being. No, that game was very entertaining. And so, Mike, I actually watched that whole game, and it just goes to show you. I mean, fans, if you don't have a dog in the hunt, don't you tend to like an upset? I mean, if you don't like Florida State or Georgia Tech, who's the favorite? Well, Florida State, I'm a cheer for Georgia Tech. I mean, yeah, we kind of like the underdog syndrome.
Yeah, they had a few people that cashed in some money taking those points in Georgia Tech over the weekend. We'll be back with another hour of Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Got Tony from Australia. Tony, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike. Hey, you got a crew for you. You got a big crew for you cheering for you, Tony.
Hey, Tony, here at the Silver Slipper Bay St. Louis, they love you. I mean, they go, we want Tony to take a road trip to New Orleans. Come here.
Well, I'm having a meeting this afternoon to find out whether or not it's on. If not, it'll be definitely next year.
Okay. So you sounded pretty good. I know you had some health issues. It seems like you've turned the corner.
Yeah, no. It's firing on all cylinders. A couple of questions. When's the 53-man squad finalized? And also, if Derek Carr has a couple of bad games, do you think Spencer Rattler will get a chance?
Tomorrow is the cutdown date official, 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah.
Got to get down to 53 now. Tony, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be fluid, because I do think there are going to be other movements after that. Bob?
Yeah, it's going to be continuous, and I think Derek Carr, it has to be more than a bad couple of games. It might have to be a bad month plus, or he'd have to get hurt. I think we got to live with Derek Carr this season, and Tony, you got to hope he works out, because I think he's going to be our quarterback for this season. And he understands the task at hand. I think Clint Kubiak, Dennis Allen, we all know, I've said this a bunch of times, that, okay, the quarterback, usually the head coach, gets too much of the glory when you win. And then obviously when you lose, quarterback sucks, or the coach doesn't know what he's doing. But I can tell you this right now, Dennis Allen can have the defense rolling. But he's not just in charge of the defense. He's the head coach. So if the offense is not getting it done,
you're going to get the blame.
Yeah, Dennis Allen and Derek Carr is going to get the blame. It could be like Trevor Penny could suck and don't block nobody. then they might. They're gonna be where Derek Carr work your magic. So the quarterback and the head coach is gonna be held responsible. So Dennis Allen and Derek Carr knows that. So they know that they have to get it done. But the one thing I'd be extremely disappointed if our defense is not amongst the best, because that's Dennis Allen's baby. I think, and I can tell you this right now. Now, I know he's the head coach because you don't know everything. It would be like if you were the Denver Broncos. And if you're the Denver Broncos and you can't stop nobody, who's going to get the blame? Sean Payton, even though he's an offensive coach. You don't know both sides of the ball. You might say, well, you're the head coach. No. That was like even Nick Saban, who might be considered the greatest college coach ever. If Alabama's defense sucked, I would say that's on Nick Saban.
That's on Nick.
He's a defensive coach. Now, the offense, you got to hire the right people.
And he brought in Sarkisian.
Lane Kiffin. Yes. Yes. So, now, that's why Dennis Allen's going to be patting Clint Kubiak. Come on.
Get it done. You got to get it done.
Because that's a reflection of me. So that's where we're at right now. But to say if Derek Carr struggled a couple of games that they would replace him, no. That ain't happening. I mean, Mike, you
think, I agree with that.
No, it'd be like he'd have to be hurt or it'd have to be like a real slump, which is a month plus or something.
Thanks so much for the call, Tony. We appreciate it. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number three of Second Guess on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here in hour number three of Second Guess. Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettelier at the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be here until 8 o'clock tonight. Bob, big weekend of college football as it cranks up all across the board. And the matchups to me, because there's no preseason, okay? And so I think you make that big jump, and you've heard college coaches say it, from week one to week two. You got a game action. That's where you make the biggest jump. But this is where, too, it's kind of primed for some upsets.
Oh, yeah, you already had an upset.
You had a big one.
Well, the thing is, I was starving.
And SMU almost dropped one, too.
Yeah, they end up coming back. Look, Montana State came back on New Mexico. I think they were like a 14-point favorite.
Yep.
So you look at SMU coming back. They're part of the ACC now. But I tell you what. This is probably the first game, because I guess I was just starving or chomping at the bit for real games that count. The game in Ireland, I actually watched the whole Georgia Tech, Florida State game. I watched that whole game, and Georgia Tech was kicking their butt in the trenches. So, Mike, that was.
And that quarterback sort of matzah for Georgia Tech.
Yeah,
he's a big dude that can run.
Well, so was the Florida State quarterback. He ain't any good. The one who transferred from Oregon State, he ain't any. He wasn't getting it done.
He's all over the board throwing the ball.
So the point being, no, that game was very entertaining. And so, Mike, I actually watched that whole game, and it just goes to show you. I mean, fans, if you don't have a dog in the hunt, don't you tend to like an upset? I mean, if you don't like Florida State or Georgia Tech, who's the favorite? Well, Florida State. I'm a cheer for Georgia Tech. I mean, yeah, we kind of like the underdog syndrome.
Yeah, they had a few people that cashed in some money taking those points in Georgia Tech over the weekend. We'll be back with another hour of Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.